We are the only minority group that you can join overnight.
From Overnight Productions.
In the twinkling of an eye, in fact.
It's all right. You may all come out.
Something inside so strong.
Seeing, believing in the things you see.
You can be anybody that you want to be.
For the straight folks who don't mind gays but wish they weren't so blatant.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Australian activists challenged their Attorney General on his plebiscite plan, U.S. ID laws challenge transgender voters, and a classic collection inspires Coming Out Day. All that and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm John Dyer V.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBT communities around the world for the week ending October 8, 2016. Australia's Attorney General, George Brandis, met via teleconference on October 6th with representatives of more than 20 LGBT advocacy groups. According to insider reports, he apparently thought the discussion would focus on the nuts and bolts of the government's proposed plebiscite on civil marriage equality. He instead got an earful from each activist on why the plebiscite itself is such a bad idea. Two sources told BuzzFeed News that an angry and frustrated Brandis warned the teleconferencing LGBT activists at one point that, "You are fools if you think marriage equality is inevitable." Alex Greenwich, co-chair of Australian Marriage Equality, characterized the meeting as very constructive. But a press release issued by the Coalition Against Homophobia was less charitable, reporting that Brandis, claiming to be happy to be part of the first Australian government to pursue marriage equality, was met with responses of, "That's a joke."
Public opinion polls agree with opponents of a non-binding popular vote that the path to marriage equality should be through Parliament. The leading opposition Labour Party is expected, with the Greens and a few independent MPs, to have enough votes to defeat the government's soon-to-be-introduced proposal in Parliament to hold the plebiscite. Brandis has warned that rejection of the plebiscite will delay civil marriage equality in Australia for 5 years. The Liberal National Coalition government of Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull continues to feud internally over the issue. The National Party remains uniformly against equality. But at least a few Liberal MPs have urged the between-a-rock-and-a-hard-place Turnbull to give his members a free vote in Parliament on civil marriage equality. 4 different bills have been introduced in the current session, but he's thus far rejected that idea. Analysts believe that the PM allowing his MPs to vote their conscience would lead to almost certain passage. In its press release about the Brandis teleconference, Coalition Against Homophobia co-convener Kat Rose complained that primary school children would be able to pass this reform. The Reuters news agency reported this week on an unexplored aspect of the upcoming U.S. elections. Insidious voter ID laws in several states could make it difficult for transgender citizens to vote. According to activists, as many as 34,000 people could be disenfranchised in next month's U.S. presidential election because their gender presentation doesn't match their ID card. Advocacy groups are telling trans people to vote by mail if possible to avoid any headaches at local polling places. Gillian Weiss of the Transgender Legal Defense and Education Fund said absentee voting is good advice but shouldn't have to be necessary. According to the Williams Institute, an LGBT think tank based at UCLA, 34 states have passed voter identification laws. Governor Mike Pence's Indiana is one of 8 states with the most stringent laws that require a voter to show a government ID with photo. Kit Malone of the LGBT advocacy group Freedom Indiana told Indianapolis Star reporter Stephanie Wang in her story on the subject this week that it's that forced outing that keeps a lot of people from doing things that require them to show an ID. "Anytime I have to do that," she said,
I become nervous that someone is going to make a big deal about it.
The National Junior College Athletic Association, or NJCAA, is the latest collegiate sports organization in the U.S. to abandon North Carolina because of the state's onerous anti-LGBT HB2. That law, passed earlier this year by the Republican-dominated state legislature and vigorously defended ever since by Governor Pat McCrory, denies local governments the right to protect their LGBT citizens from discrimination and requires trans people to use birth certificate-based bathrooms. The NJCAA announced this week that it's moving its national baseball championships out of Kinston, North Carolina. That's about 80 miles southeast of the state capital in Raleigh, because HB2 poses specific challenges to the inclusive environment mandated by the association's constitution for all student athletes, coaches, and administrators. The NCAA and Atlantic Coast Conference have each moved their collegiate championship games out of North Carolina, and the NBA moved its 2017 All-Star game from Charlotte to New Orleans.
Fine dining has also become a casualty of HB2. The James Beard Foundation, named for the American cookbook author, teacher, syndicated columnist, and television personality, is best known for its prestigious James Beard Awards, given to exceptional American chefs and restaurants each year. They're considered the Oscars of the food world. The foundation's Chefs and Restaurants Committee, which helps select the nominees, was scheduled to meet in Raleigh in January. The location of the meetings aren't usually made public, but the committee felt it necessary to announce that it won't be meeting in Raleigh as planned because the state's outrageous law discriminates specifically against the transgendered and reduces civil rights for the entire LGBTQ community. Despite the move out of the Tar Heel state, the committee noted that chefs and restaurateurs from North Carolina would still be considered for the James Beard Awards.
In other news, the leading evangelical group on U.S. college campuses is denying a Time magazine report this week that it's going to begin involuntary terminations for any staff members who support civil marriage equality. The InterVarsity Christian Fellowship USA posted a statement on its Facebook page insisting that the group doesn't have a policy regarding employee views on civil marriage. While that may be technically true, the same statement notes that the fellowship continues to hold to an orthodox view of human sexuality and Christian marriage. And according to Time, the group is asking pro-equality staff members to come forward voluntarily. When they inform their supervisor of their disagreement with fellowship policy, the magazine reports, a 2-week period is triggered, concluding in their last day. A spokesperson for the group defended the policy, calling it a matter of personal integrity for each employee. HigherEducation.com reports that the new initiative may have been triggered by the formation, by 10 of the fellowship staff members, of a group to speak out on behalf of gay and lesbian students. InterVarsity is based in Madison, Wisconsin, employs about 1,300 people, and boasts chapters on some 667 college campuses across the United States.
The Associated Press reported late this week that the CEO of RentBoy.com, Jeffrey Herant, has agreed to a plea deal in his federal pimping case that prompted charges by LGBT advocates of homophobic bias. Herant admitted in federal court in Brooklyn on October 7th that he promoted the exchange of sexual conduct in return for a fee on his RentBoy.com site. Under the plea deal, the 51-year-old Herant agreed not to appeal a sentence of 2 years or less in prison. Formal sentencing is scheduled for February 2nd. Last year's raid on the website's Manhattan headquarters was led by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Its involvement and the absence of any allegations that RentBoy.com was engaging in human trafficking or exploiting minors angered many in the LGBT community. Activists questioned why the agency would single out RentBoy when other escort websites, gay or straight, continue to do business. A statement issued by U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, which also inexplicably participated in the investigation, claimed that any insinuation that a specific population was targeted is categorically false. Before authorities arrested Herant and seized the RentBoy site, it was drawing 500,000 visitors a day in its last 5 years online, generating revenues of more than $10 million.
And finally, DC Entertainment Wonder Woman writer Greg Rucka confirmed during a recent interview with Comicosity.com what to him seemed obvious, that the Amazon Warrior is queer. According to Rucka, the origin story of the now 75-year-old Wonder Woman leads to no other conclusion. She comes from the female-only island of Themyscira, where, romantically, the only options are women, he explained. Now, are we saying Diana has been in love with and had relationships with other women? The answer is obviously yes. Rucka also praised his bosses at DC Entertainment in the interview, saying that nobody ever said she's got to be straight. Nobody ever. They would, I think, like any business, prefer this not be an issue to anybody, he said. But most of us human beings would also really rather this not be an issue for anybody anymore. It is what it is. Wonder Woman number 8, which The Hollywood Reporter describes as an interlude in the Wonder Woman Year One storyline, is set for release on October 12th.
That's News Wrap for the week ending October 8th, 2016. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Wenzel Jones.
And I'm John Dyer V.
Hi, this is Janice Ian, and you're listening to This Way Out. Support your local public radio station. You ain't gonna get this nowhere else.
And that's the truth.
Come out, wherever you are.
Coming out is the top tool in the LGBTQ liberation toolbox, and October 11th is the annual day to celebrate it. Whether you're in a long-term process of self-discovery or discovering that coming out may be something you'll need to do again and again, or finding ways to be an effective ally, National Coming Out Day encourages you to take your next step. To help get those spirits moving, we've got a classic collection to bolster coming out by a British singer-songwriter who recently revealed that his anthem was composed as much for LGBT people as for the anti-apartheid movement. One of the feminist four women's liberation balladeers, the gay a cappella artists who brightened the AIDS era, and the poet laureate of the first National March on Washington for Lesbian and Gay Rights in October 1979.
Something inside so strong.
When I was growing up, my best friend was a unicorn. The other smiled at me and called me crazy. But I was not upset by knowing I did not conform. I always thought their seeing must be
over, saved, washed the dishes and put them away. I have told you a story and tucked you in tight at the end of your knockabout day. As the moon sets its sail to carry you to sleep over the midnight sea, well, I will sing you a song no one sang to me. May it keep you good company. You can be anybody that you want to be. You can love whomever you will. You can travel any country where your heart leads, and know I will love you yourself. You can gather friends around. You can choose one special one. And the only measure of your words and your deeds will be the love you leave behind when you're gone.
Some girls grow up strong and bold. Some boys are quiet and kind.
Some race on ahead. Some follow behind.
Some grow in their own space and time.
Some women love women, and
some men love men.
Some raise children, and some never do.
You can dream
of a day never reaching the end. Of everything possible for you.
Don't be rattled by names, by taunts or games, but seek out
spirits true.
If you give your friends the best part of yourself, they will give the same back to you.
You can be anybody that you want to be. You can love whomever you will. You can travel any country where your heart leads. And know I will love you still. You can live by yourself. You can gather friends around. You can choose one special one. And the only measure of your words and your will be the love you leave behind when you're gone.
Oh, the love you leave behind when you're gone.
For the straight folks who don't mind gays but wish they weren't so blatant. You know, some people got a lot of nerve. Sometimes I don't believe the things I see and hear. Have you met the woman who's shocked by two women kissing and in the same breath tells you that she's pregnant? But gays shouldn't be blatant. Or this straight couple sits next to you in a movie and you can't hear the dialogue because of the sound effects. But gays shouldn't be blatant. And the woman in your office spends your whole lunch hour talking about her new bikini drawers and how much her husband likes them. But gays shouldn't be blatant. Or the hip chick in your class rattling a mile a minute while you're trying to get stoned in a john about the camping trip she took with her musician boyfriend. But gays shouldn't be blatant. You go in a public bathroom, and all over the walls, there's John loves Mary, Janice digs Richard, Pepe loves Dolores, etc. But gays shouldn't be blatant. Or you go to an amusement park, and there's a tunnel of love, and pictures of straights painted on the front, and grinning couples coming in and out. But gays shouldn't be blatant. Fact is, blatant heterosexuals are all over the place. Supermarkets, movies, at work, in church, in books, on television, every day and night, every place, even in gay bars. And they want gay men and women to go hide in the closets. So to you straight folks, I say, sure, I'll go. if you go too, but I'm polite, so after you.
Thank you.
Labi Siffre, Margie Adam, The Flirtations, and Pat Parker inspired this year's annual National Coming Out Day, October 11th. But any day can be a good day to come out.
Once you do, you will feel so much better.
Thanks for discovering This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. This week, John Dyer V and Wenzel Jones contributed program material, with thanks as always to Steve Pride. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks to Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our listener supporters, who all make this program possible. Email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Richard Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on KAOS Olympia, Washington, WOZO Knoxville, Tennessee, CJLY Nelson, British Columbia, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Come out and stay tuned!